welcome everyone to what's going to be an interesting edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Gerard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a wild win for the Tigers over South Carolina Gamecocks from yesterday. Ooh boy, it was a fun one, right? I mean, that's exactly what everyone probably had on their bingo cards. Tigers get the win, 36-33. Going to break that down. A lot of other interesting games this weekend. Of course, another interesting one probably next weekend with UCLA we got to go over. But before we get into all that, I want to check in with you guys. I mean, I just don't even know what to say about that game. Very interested to hear what you are going to say. So happy to do it with you. How y'all doing?
Scott, good to be with you. I have to question what your definition of fun is, because that was not fun for me.
Oh, man. The excitement.
That's the excitement I can live without. But I mean, glad we got a win. At the end of the day, it's going to go on the win column and it'll count the same way as, you know, if we blew them out. But I think there's a lot for us to go over, and most of it's not very good. So, but good to be here with you.
Right. It was a wild day of football yesterday. They might need to check Our Lady of the Lake Hospital, among some others in Baton Rouge, after the Tigers causing a cardiac arrest among just about every fan. It was a crazy game that we somehow get the W on the scorecard, even though I'm not so sure that we won that more as South Carolina and the refs kind of lost it there at the end. But I guess a win is a win, so you're happy with that and you move on. But there's a whole lot to talk about there, so let's get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the refs. I was going to bring it up a little bit later, but touche, you're already on top of that one. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. Although if it does come down to refs, I think the Tigers are due. But anyway, great overall win. I'd say overall, just talking about it, this was the ugly win that I think this team probably needed, right? I'm so glad it was actually a day game. 12 a.m. We've actually done pretty well with those the last few years. I think we're undefeated in like the last 8 years or so. But they came out strong. We looked like we didn't even belong on the same field, right? Kind of like that Tennessee game not too long ago. And I don't know, the Tigers just finally woke up, came back slowly, started eliminating some mistakes. You saw some improvements with offense and defense. And I would say a lot of improvement still to go around, especially on defense. But, oh, my goodness, I think just looking in the locker room after that, man, I think, if we'd have barely, like if we'd have won this game as we were supposed to, but really didn't do anything different, or if we had actually lost, I don't think we'd really like improved anywhere. But just seeing how they were in the locker room afterwards, I'm just hoping that kind of propels us forward. You know, they found something. Right? Everyone was doing something, contributing. They pushed it and gutted it out. Kind of like what Kelly was saying. They gutted it out.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's a really positive way to look at it. I like it. I mean, I think that I'm hoping that we could pull something from it. I think that it was a gutted out win. There are so many ups and downs and very, very low downs in that game. I mean, like that muffed snap is probably one of the worst things I've seen in LSU football in years. And there were other plays like that. So, I mean, it's very disappointing in a lot of ways, but like you said, they gutted it out against against odds as far as, you know, whether or not we talk about the refs. Like, I know Brian Kelly thinks that the punt block was illegal, and I think they're going to take it to the SEC and try to get that, you know, whatever that's going to do, they're going to try to do it.
I think I missed that. So I don't know what that was about, but I know about the punt, like the interception returns, both there's, you know, speculation there, but I didn't see what the one thing was about the punt.
Yeah. I don't really know exactly what Brian Kelly thought that the rule that was broken was, but I know that they blocked a punt of ours and that, you know, he feels like it was illegally done. But The point is that, I mean, yes, we got the win, and I think you're right, Scott. If we can pull something from this, and if this is a I don't want to say a wake up call, because really, like, that, you know, we should have already had wake up calls, but more of a rally moment for this team to show, like, hey, look, you can go on the road in the SEC and compete and gut out a win, and against, you know, not have your best ball and still be able to play and still be able to win. I would like to think that could be the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw a statistic online after the game that in the Brian Kelly era at LSU, so this is 2.25 seasons in now, LSU has been down by 10 points or more, so double digits, in 9 games out of those 2.25 seasons. The good part is that we're 6-3 in those 9 games, so we have developed a reputation for coming back. But how do we keep coming out so flat game in and game out against these opponents? A lot of the time, much lesser competition. And South Carolina is not a bad team, but this is not Alabama that we're talking about, or Georgia. And we just come out looking like we're in a summer daze as South Carolina rams it down our throat on the first drive of the game. They put up a quick 7 on the board. Garrett Nussmeier comes onto the field and we're 3 and out. And South Carolina is right back with the ball with 4 minutes off the clock, up 7-0. So they need to put a double shot of caffeine in their coffee or something when they wake up for these games. It just shows a lack of preparation or lack of motivation. I'm not sure. I do commend them for not giving up and throwing in the towel and coming back and fighting hard, which is what we've done many times now. Like I said, 6-3 in those double digit deficits. But it is just demotivating as a fan to sit on your couch and watch LSU just kind of look embarrassing for about the first 1 hour of real time.
Right.
I mean, South Carolina gave us plenty of opportunities, obviously, to come back in this game, but LSU had trouble in all three phases. We put up 36 points, but we weren't efficient in the red zone, didn't have a whole ton of explosive plays. And on defense, yeah, we gave up multiple, like, 70-yard touchdown runs. Especially the rushing defense was bad. And then special teams, like you mentioned, Tommy, with one blocked punt, a muff snap on an extra point, just all kind of messiness with plenty of penalties thrown in there. So a laundry list of things to work on this week and going forward in the season. So it makes for pretty entertaining football to watch, but a stressful watch as well.
Yeah, and Brian Kelly's going to give you both.
You know, the weird thing is I don't feel like he did this at Notre Dame. The kind of football you saw at Notre Dame.
Ask them. I'm sure they would say they was.
Well, you know what? You're probably right on that. But I don't know, man. That, you know, you talk about, like, normally we go offense, defense, special teams. I mean, offense, I'd say a highlight, obviously, Caden Durham looked great. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's our RB1 now. We've had 2 games now and haven't been able to find a running back that's, you know, really been the bell cow for us. He looked great. He was running very hard, running north to south, and I really liked his, you know, the effort that he put out as far as, like, yards after contact, things like that. But aside from him and, you know, some decent pass play from Nussmeier and that receiving core, not a lot of great things to talk about on offense. I mean, at times, especially in the middle of that game, you know, you talk about, like, second quarter, third quarter, on into the fourth. I mean, it was just an anemic offense of 3 and out here, 3 and out there. It was just bad. And I mean, I'll say it from the top. I don't think we deserve to win that game. I mean, we did, and I'm going to take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They shoved it down our throat. Like Daniel said, they shoved it down our throats for most of the game.
Yeah, there was a big
whatever they wanted. They out physicaled us, manhandled us. That's not what LSU football is.
Yeah, there was a pretty big transition when Lenora Sellers, their starting quarterback, came off the field injured. I think that was kind of early in the third quarter, maybe. And then South Carolina's offense was rendered mostly one-dimensional after that, considering Robbie Ashford, the backup, didn't have the best arm. He actually made a couple of passes, but the fact that they were kind of keyed in on the run allowed us to zoom in a little bit better. And then at the same time, Nussmeier did find more success, and that's when we started working Durham into the rushing game. Once they gave him a chance, he definitely made the most of his opportunities and is probably taking, like you said, that running back one role that we were looking for. Many thought that Caleb Jackson was going to have that, but he's been pretty slow and I would say bumbling at times and just not really smashing through the hole on the offensive line like we had hoped. So hopefully Durham can keep that up. And then we had, you said, there was some good performances in the passing game by Aaron Anderson, especially had some nice grabs. And Mason Taylor is a reliable kind of safety valve for Nussmeier kind of going underneath. The offensive line that we hyped up going into the season was, I would say, even a bit of a weak spot in this game, though, considering they had multiple penalties. Nussmeier got sacked a few times. They hadn't given up a sack going into this game. And I think South Carolina rang up three, but even when they weren't bringing Nussmeier down, they were constantly putting pressure on him. You got to give respect to their defensive front that really showed up in this game. And it just took a few key stops and turnovers late in the game. I think, Carolina had two interceptions and then a few fumbles of their own that really changed the course of things, as well as penalties that took away key gains on their part. So you take what you can get and the ball will bounce as it does, but it was kind of weird stuff going on in this game.
There was. And again, if you want to blame it on the refs, sorry. I mean, there was some against USC that I thought held us back for a couple drives, but I mean, we didn't complain about that because we knew we still lost that game because of our play. Same with South Carolina. They had a 17-0 lead. These calls that you're talking about, if you're talking about them, didn't come until really the third and the second half, basically. So what happened to South Carolina? Yeah, their quarterback went down, but I mean, your defense was still looked pretty good. I mean, they stymied us for however long. Wanted to hear what you guys thought about the, because we were down 17-0, but I mean, our offensive play calling, I should say, kind of set us up for that. I don't want to fault BK for, going for it on fourth down here and there, because, you like to see that kind of gutsy call, especially if the coach has confidence in his guys. But, I mean, come on. First and goal at the two, and we come away with nothing?
Yes.
Like, it was three straight.
That was frustrating.
Three straight runs, and then, just to kind of throw off to the side, I'm just thinking, I guess this is for Joe Schlone and Brian Kelly, but like our quarterback 6'5", can we just have a play where he just falls forward with his arms out and like that's a touchdown? Come on.
And why are we lined up in that wishbone formation? Did anybody else notice that? Three backs in the backfield under center. Very weird. We ran the same fold play twice in a row. I didn't understand it. Very, like Daniel said, very frustrating. And I saw some people on Twitter saying this, and gosh, it's not true. Did anybody else feel, that's Les Miles. This is a Les Miles game.
Yes. I was hoping. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's where you miss a talent like Jaden Daniels with his running ability, because Nussmeier's not going to tuck it and run pretty much, and it turns the read option into the read no option. The option is either to hand it off or just try and make something happen with his arm, which happens a lot. But then you get into situations where he's scrambling and he falls over or just there's nobody open, and you can't have that tuck and run and speed around the outside, which I don't know, Jaden Daniels is a Heisman winning quarterback. Those don't fall off the tree, but you just kind of hope he's able to do something in that situation.
Right. But what I was going to say is I just hope Scott Woodward had our text ready to send to Brian Kelly. Like, if I wanted to go 0-for-4, a goal to go and three straight runs ending with an incomplete pass, I'd have rehired Les Miles. Yeah. That's exactly what that looked like. Some of the other, situations in our play calling also. So again, I think that's a question for Joe Schlone. But yeah, we worked a lot of new guys into it, kind of turned around. Running was there. I would say, you could base that off of them, but I mean, that's probably the fiercest defensive line that we faced all season. Like you guys said, we were getting sacked left and right. But also we were able to work it on them. The Potter last? Let's see what the freshmen can do. Give it to them. Let's see whoever's willing to play and step up and turn this around. Do it.
Do it.
Yep. Now on the defensive side, I think there's even less. Is there less good to talk about?
Oh, I think there's good.
You think so? I mean,
well, hold on. Well, I'd say this is what I had written down. It said it was better, but we're still Swiss cheese. It's like we had some good defensive plays. Like, well, we had two turnovers and we got the ball back in their red zone, which goes back to offense. I think our red zone is just horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So the fact that we got the ball back there to start and still scored, that was great. That's what we needed, though. I guess we just need to start inside the 20 more often. That'll help our percentages. But yeah, I'd say those highlights were good. Perk got into something. Whit Weeks was all over the place. I think he led the day in tackles. Swinson, what he had, like three sacks himself. It was a good day. And, you know, SC's had a talented offense. I mean, they were 2-0 coming into this.
Yeah, I can't wipe that first quarter off my mind of having them just literally shove it down our throats.
Yeah.
Up and down the field. Doing whatever they want. And you know, it's like you think back to some of the, like, that is not LSU defense. Like, we're never supposed to be out physical. And we were across the board, not just like, oh, you know, I mean, we've talked about the secondary for weeks now. Well, but it wasn't just like, oh, well, the secondary, you know, had trouble. It was like, man, from the defensive line, linebackers, I mean, Perkins and Whit Weeks were okay, but I didn't see a lot of Perkins again. Like, we still haven't gotten him. I think we got him more in the game this go around. We still haven't gotten him to that freshman year of Perkins. Mm-hmm. As far as being a playmaker.
Right. Whit Weeks has been a lot better kind of on ball linebacker with 11 tackles leading the team.
Yes.
And then you mentioned Braden Swinson, the defensive end, who came up with three pretty big sacks as well. So those are the bright spots. But yeah, there were some low lights as well, especially at the safety position. Sage Ryan had a big play with the strip sack, force fumble. But other than that, in coverage, he was mostly a liability. There was a few defensive pass interference calls on us. Those are never going to go away completely, but the penalties in general are something that we've racked up. I think there was one or two like unsportsmanlike penalties as well, which is still pretty concerning. And yeah, so South Carolina, not an offensive juggernaut by any means, but giving up 33, especially in the way we did, is not super sustainable. Our offense is good, but you can't quite expect us to outduel somebody like this every single game. And if Carolina's putting up 33, then some of the other talented offenses like Alabama and Ole Miss, which are coming up pretty soon on the schedule, they might be able to make it rain.
I mean, if that team plays Ole Miss and we give up like 60 and lose by at least 40 points, right? Like,
or it'll be a barn burner. Like, it'll just be us trying to keep up with them. I don't know what their defense is like, though. They haven't really played anybody.
Or like Daniel said, okay, let's move, you know, flip forward to Bama, the Bama team that hung beat Wisconsin by 50 points or something.
Mm-hmm. 32. Yeah.
Or yeah, it was 42-10.
Yeah.
Not good for us.
Yeah, it must be nice. I was talking to somebody about that game and he was like, yeah, it must be nice to have a team where you can kind of confidently go into your opponent's stadium. Like, Alabama went to Wisconsin, just took care of business and then they're out. A nice little 30 point win. Meanwhile, LSU is fighting tooth and nail with South Carolina. It's stressful football.
It was, but what do you guys think about this? Because the week before they won at Kentucky, 31 to I think 6 or something. And, you know, they had trouble with Old Dominion at home that first week. So, but Georgia, like Kentucky had Georgia come in, they played them tough. So is SC just really that good and we just bested like a second or third best team in the East? I mean, there's still Georgia and Tennessee, but you know, everyone else in like Florida, are you kidding me?
I mean, do we think they're better than USC?
I don't know, but we got better after the Florida State game, both the ones we lost. We got better after that. You know, oh, well, if we'd have played them the second or third week, but Yeah, I think USC's good.
I just think it's a concern. Like, I understand what you're saying, and yes, I mean, I think that it's an SEC team. Like, I've been high on Beamer. I think he's a great coach, and I think he's done a good job with South Carolina. So yes, I think they're a pretty good team. But yeah, I think it's more of it's not to say that it's just knowing where we should be. We're not where we should be we're not where an LSU team should be, regardless of what, you know what I mean? The standard. Now, we don't do that anymore, cause that was an Orgeron thing, but you know, we're going to set the standard. We're going to play to the LSU standard of performance or whatever. But like, we have not been at the LSU standard of performance this year at all.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I think if you gave LSU football like a report card for each game across the season, we're getting pretty much the same grade every week, which is like, I would say like a C+, B- level of football against USC, Nichols, and then this game.
I don't think obviously there's a C+ for Nichols.
But yes, I see your point there. And there's been flashes, which we've talked about, and it gives you hope. But then those positives are almost immediately canceled out by the negatives you see. And so it's really hard to build steam and get that train rolling. So I just want to see LSU turn in one solid, complete win. And we do have two opportunities coming up here with UCLA coming to town and then South Alabama after that before the real meat of the SEC schedule. But yeah, if we continue to squeak by, win or loss, it's going to be a long season and not exactly a resume that you can build a playoff, towards playoff contention with.
But I think as far as it is becoming the playoff era, as long as you keep winning, it's kind of like the NFL, right? It's like the less losses you have, the better, even if they're god awful, which yeah, you know, we might have a few more, but it's like if LSU keeps winning like this and the refs give it to us or some other team just hands it to us on a platter, still a win. It's still a playoff seeding. I mean, the playoffs, I think that'll, sort the real strength of the teams out by itself. But, hey, if we make it, great. I think that'll will keep BK off of his hot seat, right?
Yeah. It's crazy to even think we're mentioning hot seat with BK, but hey, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. They've you'll go ahead.
There is a seat and they're lighting the fire underneath it. They're just keeping it warm. It's not hot yet, but it's under the heat lamp.
No, I know Scott Woodward has like a draft email of the one he sent Orgeron where he's just waiting to change out the names and the dates.
Yes.
He's just got it draft. Like he's not, I'm not even going to change the names or dates yet. I'm just going to have it ready, but he's got it because I mean, like you said, we're just coming out flat. I don't know. I think that's probably just is that a Louisiana thing? Is that a college football in general thing? NIL time? Cause our defense used to be nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty. There's just no attitude. So I don't know if that's going to change unless, you know, there's something else that changes because we're just not the same. Yeah, it's not the LSU standard, but it's like, how do you get that back?
It's a good question. I don't know. And you know, maybe it's a talent thing. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, but like definitely in the secondary, we don't have the talent like we used to. I think at defensive line, especially with Guillory being out, like, you know, there's less talent at that position. But we used to have dogs, remember? Like we used to have just mean defenses. Mm-hmm. And it's just not there anymore. And if I was Brian Kelly, if I was Scott Woodward, I would be saying, I don't care what it takes or why, or you know, Blake Baker, like that is what you need to produce. Like we need a mean attitude filled, aggressive physical defense. Mm-hmm. And if we still lose, then great. But like we shouldn't be being pushed around. And I'm sorry, but like South Carolina should not be running it down our throats.
Well, in that case, what do we think about this next game with UCLA coming to Baton Rouge for kind of the first big primetime home game of the season? A UCLA team that just lost 42-13, got blown out by Indiana, not exactly a football powerhouse, and they struggled with Hawaii the week before. So UCLA Bruins trending down, but they meet an LSU team that's not playing their best football either. I hope to see improvement in all facets of the game here. LSU is favored by 22.5 points, which does seem like quite a bit, considering we haven't covered a single game and we're squeaking by where we are here. So if LSU wins by 10 or more, that's maybe to be expected. But I'm just hoping the defense steps up a little bit, maybe hold them to 25 or less. I do think we win this game, but probably closer than that, which is a little bit sad to say at this point in the season.
I think you're spot on, Daniel. I'm kind of gonna go. So last week I picked LSU to lose. This week I'm definitely gonna pick them to win. I think I'm gonna pick them to win and cover. I'm hoping, and maybe this is me just being hopeful, but I'm hoping that we go out and, I mean, this is gonna be our first like you said, our first like kind of real prime time game against a real, you know, a marquee brand college football team in the new Tiger Stadium, and or newly renovated Tiger Stadium. So I'm hoping we go out there and can really take out some anger on UCLA. So the return of the sissy blue shirts, maybe we should remember that. And you know, maybe Orgeron should come back as the college football guest picker or something and talk about sissy blue. I don't know. But UCLA is not good. I mean, like you said, Daniel, they get blown out by Indiana. That's not a football powerhouse.
At home, wasn't it?
Yes, at UCLA.
So I think it sets up well for us. It's going to be depending on TV, it's going to be a 2:30 or 3:15 kick. I'm not sure if they've decided yet.
3:40 is what I see.
Okay. 3:40 Eastern, so 2:40 Tiger time.
Okay. So yeah, it's the old CBS slot. Now it's an ESPN slot, but you know, I like us to win. I'm going to pick us to cover. I think we still give up two more points than we should, but I'll take LSU 35 and UCLA like 13.
If we don't at least beat UCLA 42-10, like they just lost at their own home, like in our stadium, I'm telling Scott to revamp that email that he has drafted.
Shoot that email.
I say it again. LSU should be up 35-0 at half. Anything less, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Ooh.
Understandable. Well. Yeah, I don't think I gave a score out either, but I'll just say something here. I'll go 31-20 LSU. So LSU wins by 11. Maybe UCLA scores towards the end to make it a little bit closer than the game actually was. But I'm hoping that we just look a little bit crisper. We don't need to blow the doors off them, but just look like a reasonable football team here.
Exactly. And a lot of teams did this week. There's a lot of teams that look what I would say is the part. Georgia, you know, to my dismay, that's why I'm saying they eked by. They were just down bad all game. Pretty much a trade off of field goals. They did end up winning 13-12, but I didn't think they would hold on to number one. I think maybe they are still in one, but Texas is, I think, in one and the other, but Texas definitely looks the part. I don't know. Ohio State, didn't they have a bye or something? I didn't see.
Yeah. Ohio State was off this week.
Yeah. So I don't know, to put them at one is nah. I think Tennessee looks pretty good. Again, still, I mean, well, they did play NC State, but I don't know. It's just hard to tell from some of these teams. I mean, Oregon beat the brakes off of their rival with Oregon State. Alabama definitely looks the part. Everyone else, I think, is kind of suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas was pretty dominant, great. Although Quinn Ewers went down. Their starting quarterback Arch Manning, though, coming in with 5 touchdown passes in relief. So if not Ewers bad. Is down, they got a big test this week going to the Big House to face Michigan, they've got quarterback problems of their own, but they're still undefeated in the national champion. So that'll be a fun one to watch. What was your impressions, Tommy?
Texas looking great. Alabama looking great. Quinn Ewers, he had an ab issue. I saw today that it's expected to be not as bad as it was. So, or not as bad as they originally thought. So he should be back, I believe.
Gotcha. But, yeah, we talked about Ole Miss. They went to Wake Forest and beat them really bad, 40-6. Just see that Wake Forest bought out of their home game at Ole Miss next year because they got beaten so bad.
Dang, these Demon Deacons don't want anything. The funny thing is, it's like, I mean, next year Ole Miss is theoretically, I mean, like, you know, this is Ole Miss's year. This would not, you know, I don't think they're going to be as good as they are this year, next year. So, but maybe they just don't want that rebel smoke.
that sissy blue and red smoke.
Yeah.
Also, what's going on in the state of Florida? Florida State 0-3, UF only 1-2. They lost to A&M, and either Mike Norvell or Billy Napier at Florida, they could be not
Napier's,
long for their
Napier's
for their job.
Be gone.
Right. There's a lot of smoke. He might be gone tomorrow, Monday afternoon. So we might be a little bit early on the reporting there. But yeah, by this time next week, they could have a new leader in Gainesville.
What do we think about the rumor I'm hearing is Napier out, Kiffin in Gainesville?
Why do people think Kiffin's going anywhere? I mean, he's sitting in the top five on his own. Why does he need to go to Florida?
Well, because it's not about what he can do this year. It's about longevity. Like, he can't, you know, it's like, could he build a program? Like, we've seen, like, Urban Meyer, during the Urban Meyer years, like, Florida can sustain year after year top 10 or top 5 production. Ole Miss, I don't think, can do that. They don't have the facilities, the money, the NIL, all that.
Well, there's a reason Florida's down bad now, too. I mean,
you're right.
I mean, was it ever since Meyer left, they've just not had an answer.
Yeah,
I think Kiffin had his chance already, right? Like, we thought it was going to be Auburn. Thought that, you know, maybe he was flirting with LSU also. I just don't think he's going anywhere. Like, he what's the point? Like you said, he's beating the brakes off of people. He's back to back years. He's got a great quarterback. He lost Judkins, but he's still got a good offense. I mean, he's always going to have a good offense. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, I think the clock's ticking on Napier. That email is like they're about to hit send.
Yeah, it's drafted.
The boosters have assembled the buyout.
Send. It's just in like the send later mode.
Yeah, they're going to send it Tuesday morning. They've already scheduled it.
They've scheduled it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, LSU, for all it was, you know, we're actually the top rated. One lost team in the country. Now we're at 16 in both of the polls. Everything above us, all the undefeateds. Yeah, I get it. I don't care. I mean, it's we're looking at what 12 for the playoffs. So it's all going to shake out. Still very early. We have UCLA. I think there are some other good teams or games. Sorry, coming up this weekend. Like you said, now I think we're starting to get to the nitty gritty, and this top 15 is gonna. Start to bounce around. But overall, man, I think we did show improvement. I think LSU just needed some sort of gutty wins, just something to help them, you know, find that, I don't know, the something cohesive, some sort of attitude, vibe, whatever you want to call it, to get back to fighting Tigers football. We'll see next week in UCLA. It's not as late as we would like, but I think the sun will be setting in the western sky right about, you know, third, fourth quarter, when hopefully, Ricky Collins is just handing off over and over. Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe not.
Yeah. Wanted to make one quick correction. I said that Texas was going to Michigan to play next week. I don't know why I said that. That game already happened this year.
Right. I was wondering. Yeah. I didn't know which. I thought, I didn't know if he's like, transitioned to Southern Cal or.
No, yeah, because it is USC going to play Michigan this week, which could be a pretty good game. Weird Big Ten matchup there between Michigan and USC. Texas, on the other hand, they're not facing quite as a formidable opponent with ULM, Louisiana Monroe, me and Tommy's hometown team, with General Booty at the quarterback position. So maybe the Warhawks will shock the world there.
Wouldn't be the first time, but... Something tells me that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And then the other big game of the week is Tennessee going to Oklahoma, which is where College Game Day will be. That'll be pretty fun. See if the Volunteers are for real. Their quarterback, Nico Iamalieva, probably mispronouncing that. This is like Tua all over again. Yeah. Their offense has been cooking with Josh Heupel, and Oklahoma's been okay. They had a pretty close game against Tulane this past week, but that should be a fun one. A lot of offense, and we'll see if the Vols are for real. They seem like a pretty similar team to Ole Miss at this point in the season, one in the East and one in the West. But SEC still looking strong, six of the top seven teams in the country. So the road runs through the Southeast.
It does. You mentioned probably the best matchup is probably USC at Michigan, but or Utah maybe at Oklahoma State. But man, how about this bottom of the bowl, this bottom of the barrel bowl, Florida at Ole Miss. Ole Miss got creamed by Toledo. Florida was getting
Mississippi State.
Sorry, yeah, that's what I meant. Toledo, Florida at Mississippi State, because Mississippi State was getting creamed by them at home. So you got to think whoever's gonna lose this game, that's that might be out the door.
That's a hot seat bowl right there.
yep
Dan Mullen bowl.
This is a Dan Mullen bowl. The person who's maybe shined most from the demise of Mississippi State and the demise of Florida, Dan Mullen's got to be thinking, I got fired for basically being like a top 10 team.
He's on the analyst desk looking smug these days.
He's definitely looking smug. You saw when he tweeted that thing like about like Napier. People were going off on that. Like he retweeted some kind of petty thing about Napier, which was hilarious. But funny. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean that's he basically had the same record as like, oh, right? Like it was some weird thing where it's all these guys they were firing. His record was like winning overall, but he wasn't really getting over the hump, and that's why they fired him. And now they're just, oh man, they're backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I got to tell you, speaking of emails, after LSU was down 17-0 in the first quarter, I drafted one myself. I was going to reach out to the Red Zone Report to see if we could get back on the Saints wagon. Cause man, they look good.
They do look good. I watched today. I don't know. I thought, week one, you kind of think, man, just a little taking out a little anger on the Carolina Panthers. Panthers aren't very good. Look at the Saints. That's fun. Then you come in here, go to Dallas. Four touchdowns. Is it four? Yeah, four for Alvin.
Yeah.
Solid game from them. I'm not even a huge Saints guy, but watching them when it's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can get something brewing here, that'll be pretty exciting for the state of Louisiana. I just saw the final score from the Chiefs-Bengals game. The Chiefs kicked a 51-yarder as time expired to beat Joe Burrow and the Bengals by 1 point.
Oh.
So that's pretty brutal for them. Burrow had a decent game, actually. Jamar Chase got called for an untimely unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He was chirping at a ref. That happened right before we started recording. So Patrick Mahomes always finds a way to win. But yeah, Bengals 0-2, not super great, even though they said they were the team to beat. So, but yeah, NFL has been pretty good. Jaden Daniels got his first win as an NFL quarterback today for the Commanders. And he did a nice jersey swap with Malik Nabers, New York Giants wide receiver, after the game, who also had a good performance, over 100 yards and a touchdown. So glad both of them are performing well so far. I mentioned to Tommy, it'll be a fun one next week. Monday night football is the Commanders versus the Bengals. So LSU Heisman winning quarterbacks going head to head in prime time. So that'll be a fun one to tune in for LSU fans.
Heck yeah. Wow.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Tommy?
That's all I got. Good. Another good week of college football. Not exactly what I was looking for as far as LSU goes, but any day watching the Tigers is better than not. So try to take the positives where we can.
Yeah. And speaking specifically, Tigers and the pros, man, Dylan Cruz is having himself a nice rookie season now that he's in the bigs. He's had some great hits, had some really good defensive plays too that made like some highlights. Dude's doing his thing.
Yeah, good for him. Him, both him and him and Skeens. Skeens has kind of cooled off a little bit this the rest towards the second back half of this year. But
yeah, but I think he said some record for, I don't know, strikeouts by a rookie or by so many innings for a rookie. Yeah. But anyway, and then I saw, who was it? Jaden. Now my memory's failing me. Oh, Hill? Yeah, thank you. Made it. He got called up too.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. Anywho, congrats to all of them, all the Tigers out there. So that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Until next week, when we will have the recap for the UCLA game and all the other action from across the country right here on Talking Tigs. So until next time, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.